Good evening, and welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow, rocking he-him pronouns, and I'm doing the show with my good friends, John Ron Sue.
Hey there, I'm an everything bagel.
I'm not going to do this.
I thought I heard Kermit.
Yeah. I was like, should I?
Hi ho.
Should I do it? Is this going to be a thing? No.
No.
I probably shouldn't do that, even though like it's really fun. And
we should frame that show.
How do you frame the show?
I meant sort of symbolically.
Well, I mean, I can print out the waveform. And we can put it on a... Okay, anyway.
Actually, that does remind me. I believe Tim Curry is 74 years old today. You know, one of those great examples of like, make a movie with Muppets and then there's one human in it.
Yeah, Tim Curry.
Yeah.
I was watching... this person does a series called Is Your Favorite Celebrity a Terrible Person?
And, I hope he isn't.
And that's the funny thing. She was like, today is Tim Curry. He's fine. He's great.
Okay, good. You know, say, like, not Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yeah,
butler from Clue.
She did
not Muppet Treasure Island guy.
Not G. Gordon Liddy.
Well. Yeah.
No, he did that.
G. Gordon Liddy was in Muppet Treasure Island?
No. Godfrey.
Gilbert, Glorious Godfrey.
Glorious Godfrey.
Voice actor, yeah.
Yeah.
G. Gordon Liddy was a real POS, yeah. Political operative and part of the Watergate crew.
The guy
who organized the burglary.
Yeah, I don't know why.
But an understandable confusion on a show about politics.
Yeah, it's true. And I've had a day. But he is a prolific voice actor as well, like one of my favorite shows.
And the first King Arthur in Spamalot on Broadway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah. He played a part on Gargoyles back in the 90s. One of the best cartoons that I've seen, honestly. Just amazing.
He's just great.
Yeah.
Also, you know, like, I have zero desire to see either version of the movie It, but I understand the original one from the 80s, Tim Curry's the evil clown.
He is.
And I'm like, yeah, there's nothing that guy can't do. Anyway.
No. He was up for a part and he didn't get it because they thought he would be too scary. I forget what, I'm going to look it up.
Because that's what's important. But anyway.
I mean, it's Tim Curry. Everything Tim Curry does is
a
important.
Lot of scary things in the world today.
Well, it's true. If you want to tell us.
Very good.
Yeah. If you want to tell us about how much you love Tim Curry as well, email contact@civilpoliticsradio.com, you know, which is our dedicated website for our show specifically. And you can look at that too. Also go to, you know, valleyfreeradio.org if you want to find out about the other fine shows that we're broadcasting with. And actually, I just wanted to mention very briefly, because I was listening to the announcements as we were getting ready to go on. And one of the underwriters for the station is the River Valley Cooperative Market, which is, you know, a great local, you know, operation. It's cool. But the ad we're running mentions their original site, which is still there. But also they have one on Route 10 in East Hampton, which is not that far from my house. So I go there all the time and it's good. So.
And it's big and it has solar panels. And
yes, that's true.
It's very interesting. And a big bear out front.
Yes, even better.
Stop doxing him, Sue. What are you doing?
The bear?
Yes. That's what he was up for the part for Judge Doom in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
The bear?
Tim Curry. Shush you. Stop focusing
now,
on the bear.
Now I he would have been great, but we are smacking up against my deep adoration for Christopher Lloyd.
He was up for that, and then he didn't get it because he was going to be too scary to be Judge Doom.
I can see that. Christopher Lloyd was pretty scary.
He was insanely frightening.
Yeah.
Everybody watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Honestly, if you told me also that Tim Curry like lost out to Christopher Lloyd in the role for the Klingon captain in Star Trek III, Commander Krug, I'd believe you. And I'm like, wow, another role would have been like, oh, no.
Now I got to see if Tim Curry's been in Star Trek. Oh, anyway, you guys
talk. Better have been. Yeah.
It's better to talk about this than the news.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of the news is okay. Some of the news is filled with a certain bathos, like apparently, the jury has been selected in the trial for election fraud and business falsifying business records and other, you know, nefarious, you know, almost picayune in a way, skullduggery, like, paid off the porn star. Now
I've never been on Star Trek.
They got to get on it.
Anyway, porn star.
Yeah. I don't think she's been on Star Trek either. So the trial is going on, and they've selected a jury, and apparently Mr. Trump keeps falling asleep in the courtroom. And
they said until the jury was picked, and then he was craning his neck to look at them.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And scowl.
Well, you know, he might be trying to give him the mean mug, thinking that that would be scary.
One of the jurors left in tears and didn't get seated because she said she just, her father's friend with his nemesis, and she has started already to get all sorts of pressure, and she just, they let her.
Well, there was a juror, yeah, that's what I heard, was excused because basically the news channels
that
reported,
was the first one that did
reported
that,
yeah, way too much information about her. So yeah, it's like, you know,
oncology nurse,
yeah, at this hospital, and it's like, okay, well, that's pretty specific.
All the other nurses would know who was doing jury duty, so they'd know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, there's that is not anonymous at all.
Yeah. Well, and that's a worry for democracy, because if people are afraid to be jurors.
That is a worry for democracy. And it's also.
Or the judicial system.
It is, a functioning judicial system is part of how our democracy works. You know, one of the classic digs against democracy is that you can simply have a tyranny of the mob as opposed to a tyranny of an oligarchy or whatever.
But not in court, because you have to get all of them in a criminal case.
Well, sure. But.
Actually, that's it.
But I mean, just in general, the idea of, like, you know, the masses want everybody to go to church on Sunday. And if you won't, well, then the masses can kill you, you know, kind of thing. But if you have part of what makes our democracy actually good or better than just that model is we have individual rights. And one of those rights is to say, for example, I don't feel like going to church and you can't make me, and I'm just going to stay home and do what I want. And that's fine. And so protecting those rights in limiting what the power of the state can do, that's one of the classic arguments for how we've set up our society legally. And I think it's a good one. And so I'm glad that we have this trial by jury thing. And I think it's good that I don't like Donald Trump, and I fully believe, like, I've seen.
Could you serve on the jury?
I've seen evidence about him. It's possible they'd exclude me because I already know some stuff about this case. I have for years. But if they'd let me, I would do my best to, like, okay, what is the actual evidence that is actually being presented? Because I've heard things and whatnot. But, you know, like, it's a difference between, like, what I've read in news sources, even if I think they're credible, and what is, no, this is what is actually being presented for your consideration in court after it's been vetted by the court, by the judge for applicability, and both sides have had a chance to do discovery and argue about it and so forth. That is a whole level of standard of reliability that, you know, news media doesn't have to meet, because, you know, like, you know, you can hate the New York Times or NPR or Fox News or whatever, but nobody actually goes to jail because of, you know, what Tucker Carlson or whatever is reporting, you know.
Just get fined.
Well, they get fined because they lost a court case. That you're not actually, as a consequence of, and after, you know, Rachel Maddow says this person is bad, and now that person goes to jail because Rachel Maddow said that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Sorry, I missed what you were saying.
Yeah.
Do you think that nobody goes to jail because of, like, spurious reporting?
Oh, they do, but not directly and solely. It's not like Rachel Maddow says genre is bad and should go to jail, and then you go to jail because Rachel Maddow said so.
Rachel Maddow knows me?
Yes.
Actually, she does. She's from here.
Not everybody around here knows everybody else. This isn't like Boston.
I don't know, man. There, like, within the nerd community, there are a few.
Oh, within the nerd community. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's an axis, actually, specifically of black nerds in the Valley, where, like, there's just sort of a connection, like you and Neil and a few, George and a few other guys. Like, it's just sort of like, well, I know one of them, and of course I know him, you know. So, like, there's, like, only a few degrees of separation, I think. At least in our generational cohort. Well, maybe the youngins now in their 20s, whippersnappers.
I mean, this is a small town, though. You do find a lot of people related or gone to school together. Or it's not a big metropolis.
When we're talking about, and going off a little bit, but just from what you said, going off of in our generation, like our age range, the black nerds in the Valley know each other because when we see each other, we keep track because there weren't that many. And and everybody that grew up black and nerdy, when you go to conventions, when you go to groups, you are the fly in the ointment. You stick out because you can't, you know, you can't hide. So you do run into racism, you do run into prejudice, and you do run into basically isolation. Sorry. And so so when like if I go to like I like when I was running the I don't know if I ran it but like the gaming group in UMass, I was a major part of that. It's just a bunch of white guys.
Yeah.
You know, but when I saw people like George or like Neil or like some other people in the Valley, I won't name check, but
I was going to say, are you doxing them now?
No, because
if you know, you know. And if you don't.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, yeah. George was here, so yeah. I can't really. And plus, I'm not doxing because I'm not telling them
anything else.
So who's Neil? Nobody knows. Everybody should know Neil. He's great. But we all know we keep track of each other because there are so few of us. And I think anybody in a marginalized group does that when they're within, like when they're behind enemy lines, basically. Like this is like when I tell people where I'm from, I'm like, I'm from Western Mass, where the white people come from, because it's incredibly white here. And you know, that's the gig. But when you see black people, when black people see other black people, we're like, okay, there's someone else here. And then when we keep running, and the last thing I'll say is a joke. When I went into your comic book store years ago and Neil was there, I felt like I should leave. Do you know, you guys know what a designated survivor is, right?
Yes.
There were like, I knew like 5 nerdy black people, and I was like, we should not be in the same building unless we know it's structurally sound, because if 2 of us get killed, then that's reducing the black nerd population. I genuinely had a feeling like I should do that, and then I thought, that's dumb, what are you thinking? I went in to get my comics.
Yeah.
But good. Yeah, that was a real thing that I thought, like, maybe I should go.
Sort of a fleeting feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, no, I should.
I hope having Shannon behind the counter made you feel better for a while anyways.
I guess, but Shannon also, maybe I should just come in when she's not there. Like that, it's we have to put it. You're an endangered species. We need to protect.
Spread out.
You're surrounded by people who, like, you know, have things like the Book of Tao on their bookshelf. God. Who knows how safe they are?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love a callback. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah. Trump. Sorry, that was a huge digression away from
so
politics.
So much.
I hope.
Well, we talk about racism, which is always fun.
Speaking of racism, Trump.
My mood has lifted up. Ooh, nice. Yeah. Well, I hope some of our listeners are still with us. Yeah. So Mr. Trump is on trial, and apparently he's fallen asleep, and people have been tweeting jokes about like flatulence and stuff. You know, like there's a sort of a low comic joy to that, I suppose, but I don't know. I would, if I were on that jury, I would do my best to actually weigh the evidence that's actually presented, you know, but it would be hard to be like, well, you know, Michael Cohen already went to jail for like 14 months for this stuff. So clearly something bad is happening here, you know.
And I think they're going to be able, when Cohen is, I think then he can bring, they can bring that up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there was one point there where they were fighting to have that brought up, that he went to jail for the same crime.
Well, I would imagine he's going to be a witness in the trial.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's, you know, it's like part of the point is, like, we need to prove that you actually lied about, you know, these aren't payments to your attorney for legal work. They're your attempt to cover up the hush money payments. And so, you know, the best evidence, the best direct evidence of that is Michael Cohen coming in and testifying to that fact.
And showing the documents and the recordings.
Exactly. Yeah. And are these the checks that you deposited? Yes. These are the invoice you submitted? Yes. That kind of thing. You know, and then the jury can believe him or not, and he can be questioned and challenged by Trump's attorneys and whatnot. You know,
they were still trying to delay at the end of the day today.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, they brought up some things that had already been decided, and the judge actually got a little short with them. And Trump got up and started to leave, and he said, "I'm not done. Sit down." And Trump was furious.
I don't believe him.
Yeah. They said when he left, he stormed out of there. Well, he's not used to having to comply with the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Speaking of the rules, there's a possibility that he broke his gag order.
Yeah, they're going to have a hearing.
I mean,
next week
they're going to have a hearing.
And did they
about
move it?
It?
I thought they moved it earlier or later or something. Or maybe they just readjusted when
it was. I think it's Tuesday, but opening arguments for the trial is on Monday.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But he basically, on Truth Social, his Twitter, he retruthed, which is what they call retweeting.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb, isn't it?
It's the whole thing is. But he retruthed someone that. That talked about the, like, disparagingly about the jurors. So they have to have a hearing about, like, if that counts or not, because he didn't specifically say it, but he posted it on his, on social media.
Short answer, yes.
So I think so.
How
personally.
Could it not count?
Yeah.
But I don't know what the judge does with this, because they do not want to lock him up because it makes a martyr of him. But
I hope the judge is just really, really not having it. That would be really cool, well, I think.
Actually, that does lead me. One of the things I wonder about is when this is done, it is certainly possible, whatever one thinks about the whole case in general or Mr. Trump's guilt or innocence. I mean, my position is clear, but I mean, you know, like, it's a trial. We don't actually know how it's going to turn out. And it could well turn out that he's convicted. And if he is, given that Mr. Cohen went to prison for more than a year for this, what do you think the odds are that Mr. Trump will get sentenced?
Zero. That man's never going to jail.
Well, you may well be right. I do think my prediction is that we won't find out one way or the other. They'll delay sentencing until after the election.
Yep.
I think they'll delay it as long as they can. Like, just not after the election. But if he wins the election after his presidency, like, they're going to try to delay it as much as they can until he croaks.
Hmm.
That's what I think
is
going to happen.
His people will. Whatever the New York state judicial system will do is another matter.
It's going to go to at least the state Supreme Court.
Sure, but I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. There will be an interesting matter of the supremacy clause, because, like, if he's been convicted of a crime in the state of New York, can the state of New York hold him in prison while he's, if he were actually to win re-election to the presidency, you know, because it's like, does that federal role Trump, you know, prevail over the state level
well, there's lots more trials to come, so if he loses the election, I think he'll be very busy next year too. So very, very busy. I wanted to say something about Alan Bragg, you know, the prosecutor
yeah,
who mm-hmm. brought this, because they have so disparaged him, and I heard a little piece on him, so I was just going to give you a couple of factoids. He's 50 years old.
Whippersnapper.
people were saying that these cases are never prosecuted. It's not mm-hmm. true. They listed thousands of them that are just mm-hmm. like this.
Michael Cohen, for one.
Yep. he sued Trump Organization over 100 times.
Mm.
Terry Gertzen, who was in the Southern District of New York with him, talked mm-hmm. a lot about who he is and said he was stopped many times as a young man, as a black teenager in New York, because he grew mm-hmm. up in New York, and that at one point an automatic weapon and a knife was held to his throat as a homicide victim was on his front steps. And I think he got arrested or got picked up in sort of the sweep. Obviously, he didn't do it, but he was in the area.
Wait, who's this who got picked up?
Alan Bragg, when he was a young man, when he was a teenager.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah. Okay, wow.
Yeah, many times. He's gotten all kinds of violent and racist threats
sure.
from this. His father was a social worker. His mother is a teacher. And he believes that there's two systems of justice, and his life's work is to rectify that. So this is a very interesting case for him. He went to
he's
Trinity.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Trinity School. They he went to Harvard, and they called him the Anointed One because he got black and Jewish students to reconcile over a lot of issues that were going on when he was in law school. And he said he has an ability to reconcile diverse people with clashing views. And he represented the family of Eric Garner. So, good guy.
Yeah.
Through and through. And he hesitated to take this case. You remember he was like trying to sort it out
and
really be sure. They have so many documents and so many texts and so many voicemails. I don't think there's a jury that can't think that it happened. And then the question is,
how much
do
we care? What do we do about it?
Yeah. He is he is an example. And I don't know all of his stances, but from what I know about him, he is an example of why you should vote locally, why you should pay attention to your local politicians, because, you know, he's in New York. Like, he's elected by the people of New York. He's not appointed by the mayor. Thank God.
And he's a city prosecutor, not like the state. Because, like, the recent lawsuits in Judge Angoron's court against the Trump Organization
for federal
business fraud. No, those are state.
Those are state, yeah.
But that was the state district attorney, the state's attorney brought those. And that's the thing where it's like he owes all that money for the business fraud and, you know, he can't run a corporation in New York anymore and the Trump, all of that stuff, which is significant and whatever, but that is being run at
Bragg
the state level.
Was in the state level, but he's now the city.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's this is an example of like, you want to vote for a good district attorney.
Somebody who's brave and has a backbone.
Yeah. And someone with a background that he understands what criminal justice does look like and what it isn't. And someone that can bridge that and, like you said, try to make things better. Like a district attorney is very powerful in terms of doing those things. So this is, again, no matter what you want to do at the federal level, make sure that you vote locally.
Yeah.
Some people get in over like five votes.
I wonder.
Do they have a name like Kennedy?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, did you see the whole Kennedy family did a
they did an event with President Biden. You could just say like, yeah,
oh, they did.
Yes, like dozens of them were there. And I'm like, yeah, RFK Jr. sucks. Don't vote for him.
Well, that was his sister, Carrie.
Yeah.
Who was also the daughter of RFK.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. And it was a huge there are a lot of Kennedy family because there were probably 30 people on the stage.
Uh-huh, yeah.
From the Kennedy family.
So. Yeah. Well,
anyway, so Alan Bragg's a good guy. He hesitated to bring this case. Nobody thought it was going to happen first, but everything else has been so stalled and so delayed. And this judge is not taking any prisoners.
Yeah. Well, it's a case I've been aware of for years because
he might.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might. Good point.
There's a legal podcast to listen to I've mentioned before called Opening Arguments, and they covered this. They talked about this whole affair like 4 years ago.
Yeah, a couple of people took it up and didn't charge it. Yep.
And just how, like, you know, this looks bad. And Yeah. And also, like, part of why it's so interesting, I think, is...
Porn star.
Well, yeah, sure.
But everybody knows this one. They don't know all yes, the others.
I'd be hard-pressed to name half a dozen others, that's for sure. You know, Mr. Trump wanted to take next Wednesday off so he could attend arguments at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. about the whole question of presidential immunity. And one of the reasons why I think this case is significant is because it's like that cannot apply to this. It cannot, because this all happened during the 2016 election when he was still a private citizen running for office. Well, you cannot have presidential immunity for acts you committed before you were president. It just doesn't work.
Good point. But I do think
none of those were official.
There'll be some sort of qualified immunity. Did you listen to the arguments about obstruction?
Even if they do that, it won't apply to this. Yeah.
SCOTUS?
I'm sorry?
The obstruction test, the questioning from SCOTUS. There's an obstruction of justice case, and they're trying, the SCOTUS is going to overturn it possibly. That it, because the obstruction.
Oh, is this the one
about
like they used to prosecute the guys from January 6th?
All of them, and also Trump. And it's because the law actually says documents and something else. Documents and...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Although Trump's will stand because he actually did forge documents and things.
I wouldn't be surprised if the soulless political ghouls that the Republicans have put on the court... absolutely do seize this opportunity to undermine the whole concept of justice and democracy because, you know,
but
that's what they're about.
Ketanji Brown Jackson also questioned it. She was skeptical. She said, give us a little more why this shouldn't be a narrower set of circumstances to which the text relates. She actually thinks it's a little too broad.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I just caught part of it because I couldn't record all of it. But it was really interesting. And they say if it's ambiguous, the way they interpret laws, that they interpret it in...
deference to the administrative agency that is overseeing.
No, in favor...
Chevron deference.
In favor of the defendant. It's in favor of the defendant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in this particular case, and it's an old law, but it was, you know, obviously put in place when people were obstructing.
Just so
government.
Everybody knows, the court case before the Supreme Court is Fisher versus U.S.
Yeah.
Thomas, you know. Our buddy, our pal.
This is the case he was absent for?
He was absent for a day. Yeah, nobody knew where he was. He just disappeared.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Usually he zooms in and they said he didn't.
No, he didn't. He just fell
maybe
off the map.
Maybe they asked him not to maybe
there's been calls for him not to be in this case because of what his wife was basically like
she's
supporting.
Guilty too.
Maybe he was buying a new RV. Who knows?
Maybe he was talking to John Oliver about the contract or something.
I think that window closed.
Yeah, it was last, unfortunately.
Oh, that's right. He offered him
$1 million a year.
Just to
and an RV.
And an RV, yeah. But he, when he was doing the arguments, he was saying, if I can get this right, basically it seemed like he was leaning towards not agreeing with the policy and leaning against it, which is, you know, great for him because again, what his wife was up to, he's the oldest member of the court at this point, I think.
Yeah. Which gives him seniority.
Yeah. He needs to not be
one of the other guys. One of the conservatives said, would a heckler of a State of the Union address be subject to 20 years? And then another one, I didn't get their names. It might have been Gorsuch. Would a congressperson pulling a fire alarm to prevent a vote be subject to the penalties of this law? And you all know there was a Democratic representative that pulled a fire alarm. So they were basically fleshing it out that, you know, how obstructive do you have to be? Yeah.
Hakeem Jeffries?
No. He's an older gentleman.
He's a newer part of the squad.
Oh, Jamal Bowman.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Bowman, I think you're right, Bowman.
Yeah, he's the one that pulled the... Thomas, I found the quote. Thomas said, "There have been many violent protests that have interfered with proceedings. Has the government applied this provision to other protests in the past, and has this been the government position throughout the lifespan of the statute?" And the prosecutor was like, they couldn't think of another time when this was applied to another violent protest. So, I don't know. Clarence is kind of throwing a wrench in the and works a little bit.
And Ketanji Brown Jackson is...
Well, she was asking for more. That's the difference.
Well, if you heard it, it was actually a little skeptical.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, the difference is that it's from what you said, it sounded like she was like, "I'm skeptical, but if you can give me more, then I will listen to it." And Thomas is like, I don't know if this is right. Yeah. You can tell when a judge, especially in the Supreme Court, is leaning one way, but they need something because they're a good judge.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they may.
Who among us hasn't tried to burn down the Reichstag? Okay.
Well, but you could hear that they were trying to limit it to documents rather than an action like heckling. In other words, words and other things.
Yeah.
It was very interesting because there's something in the text about documents and something. I forget what the...
Well, I mean, okay. At best, the argument is like, they didn't use the right law for the people who were, you know, busting into Congress and threatening to hang the vice president and whatever. And it's like, okay.
Pooping on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, sure, okay, maybe.
Yep.
I don't know.
Well, and she's a textualist also. I mean, she says that. She very clearly says it. So.
She
describes herself that way.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, if that's been the effect of conservatives on the legal practice in the U.S. over the past 30 years or whatever.
She's her own woman. I think she...
Oh, no. You're misunderstanding me.
Yeah.
Like the whole way that people talk about the law has changed. And I think this is something she's genuinely come to, because you see, like, the lefties are like, okay, you want to be serious about textualism and examining the text and what they say and taking them seriously? All right, let's do that. And, you know, for people like Clarence Thomas and Scalia, whatever, it was only ever like a grift. So, you know.
Yeah, no, she's really, she does actually do it.
Anyway, we should take a quick break, play some PSAs, promos, and station IDs here on Civil Politics. We'll be back with more Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio on WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. In just a couple of minutes. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Why are those red cups in the bin? The recycling chart says no cups.
Because we use a lot of them, and they should be recycled.
A reminder from the Springfield Materials Recycling Facility. Wishful thinking doesn't make it happen. Learn more about which recyclable materials manufacturers can use and what they can't. Visit springfieldmrf.org.
Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Take the time to recycle, because we only have one.
This is Ruthie from Pedal People here in this recycling bin to remind you that cups are not recyclable. I know you want to, but don't do it, because it just means that your local trash hauler has to pick them out, or the worker on the line at the MRF in Springfield has to pick them out, or potentially it could contaminate the entire load of recycling, meaning the entire load is now trash. So, no cups in the recycling, and ideally, no plastic cups anywhere. Thank you.
There's nothing like being in the same room at the same time, sharing your experiences with other women. At Cancer Connections Breast Cancer Support Group, we can laugh or cry. With our burdens lifted, even for a little while, we can go back to our lives better able to handle dealing with cancer and all it entails. Go to cancer-connection.org to learn more or to donate today. Cancer Connection relies on local donations to make its services free of charge.
WXOJ is supported by the People's Music Network for Songs of Freedom and Struggle. PMN is a national network of people who use music, dance, storytelling, and poetry to promote progressive ideas and transform ourselves and our communities through music to bring about a better world. Find out more at www.peoplesmusic.org.
Here I go, bound for freedom.
Thank you. This is Ruthie from Pedal People with a public service announcement. If you frequent downtown Northampton or Florence and you pass by the recycling and trash bins on the street, the public ones, I'm here to let you know that cups are not recyclable. No plastic cups, no paper cups, no styrofoam cups, no clear cups, red cups, blue cups, yellow cups, no insulated cups. Because if you put cups in the recycling bin, it means either I pick them out or someone at the sorting facility picks them out in Springfield, or it contaminates the whole load too much that the whole load is considered trash. Or if you can just bring your own cup altogether and not have disposable cups, that'd be even better. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your cooperation.
Did you get the vaccination? No, not that vaccination. The Soul vaccination. That's what we deliver on the Soul Patrol every Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Valley Free Radio. Join me, Dave Keaton, with classic funk, soul, R&B, along with a good dose of new disco, deep house, chill, and yeah, maybe a little yacht rock too. Don't miss the Soul Patrol with me, Dave Keating, every Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., always streaming on valleyfreeradio.org.
Soul vaccination! Everybody, get in line!
And we're back with Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow. We were talking, we kind of moseyed around a bit, but there's obviously, it's interesting that Mr. Trump is on trial for trying to mess around with the 2016 presidential election. I think that's important and significant and worth the taxpayers' time and money. But also, and I have no idea, I don't know if John Rez has seen the latest on this, that there was a report that earlier this afternoon that somebody actually immolated themselves on the, you know, in the street near the courthouse in New York. I'm not sure exactly where. The reporting
Press
I saw.
The street in the park.
Okay, yeah, because the reporting I saw was like, oh, this has happened. And I'm like, is it related to Trump? Like, I have no idea. Like, the reports were seemed very confused and whatever. But, I mean, they were all like, you know, like breaking news flashes and whatever, and I don't know how much they matter. I'm wondering if they might be connected to the protest happening at Columbia University, which, the you know, there was an encampment of people saying Free Palestine, and the president of the university called in the NYPD to roust them. So
the reporters that were reporting on the Trump trial, right out in front of the courthouse, they could see it. They could see.
Oof. Ugly.
They thought a fire, and then they said, no, somebody's on fire.
Well, it was a fire, but yeah.
But they were saying that they could see it while they were reporting live. It was, and they were talking about something else. It was
So the man's name was Maxwell Azzarello. He was from St. Augustine, Florida. That's an important distinction. Last I heard, he was in critical condition.
Yeah,
they in the burn unit, obviously. And it was in the park across the street from the courthouse. Apparently what happened was he walked there, threw a bunch of pamphlets around him.
I heard that, but
dumped some liquid on him and then set himself on fire. There were a few people that managed to get to him, obviously, and put him out. They suffered some burns as well. But yeah, he's currently in. He's still alive. Wow. But he's from Florida, apparently.
What are the pamphlets about? Why did he do this?
All I can see is, and I'll try to look more into it, but all I've been able to find is that they were, quote, inspired by propaganda. Which I don't know what kind of propaganda.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're keeping that from the press. For some reason, that's something that sometimes they do. But I'll look more into it.
Because, I mean, you know, people of all political stripes can churn out propaganda, you know. So that for all we know, he's another person protesting against the Israeli bombing in Gaza. Or he might be there saying, no, Donald Trump's the savior. He must be freed, you know, or who knows what, you know. Yeah. Maybe he's there because of fluoridation in the drinking water. That's a classic.
But sometimes the police keep it while they're trying to figure out what transpired.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to misspeak because it does the rumors fly. So
I'm not a big fan of the New York City Police Department, but I certainly I can respect the
I like blue bloods.
Tom Selleck is great. but I certainly can respect the
After like a few seasons, he really went off the rails.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
I think this is the last season, so.
Good.
But I can certainly respect the, you know, we're actually going to figure things out before we start talking to the public. I'd like, that is just a good plan in general for any official organization. And this only happened a few hours ago. So, you know, I don't think it's time to start yelling at them for not being more forthcoming, you know, like there's a, yeah.
Yeah. Look what happened in Boston with that guy that shot his wife, his pregnant wife. And then said they were robbed.
Whole Charles Stewart saga God, that was what, 1988 or something like that?
Yeah. But, you know, how misrepresented it was.
Yeah.
And the police bought the whole story until they didn't.
Well, what I remember this at the time, and I remember thinking, okay, so that's what this guy said. And then what I heard was that the cops arrested somebody because apparently, supposedly, he'd been bragging that he's the one who actually committed that crime, that shot those two people. And I have no
idea. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. And the police just made that up.
Right, yeah, which might well be true. But that, I just remember reading about it in the Globe at the time, and people were, you know, there's so much I didn't understand about how racism works and police violence works in this country as a teenager. But especially, you know, growing up in a WASPy enclave, you know, belonging to a country club, yada, yada, yada. But I just remember at the time thinking like, well, why would somebody brag about committing this heinous crime? I suppose actually if you think it'll make you look tough and you're trying to impress people and you think, oh, well, who's going to check? Whatever, you know. So I can't say that I was really stunned. I was, you know, when it turned out that, you know, Mr. Stewart had actually murdered his own wife for stupid financial reasons, as I recall. It was about money, I think.
Well, and she was pregnant. So I was one of the first female police officers in Philadelphia, friends of friends. And she said, we heard the news report, and she said he did it because they reported that the woman was shot in the head and he was shot in the stomach.
Yeah.
And she said, if you're robbing someone, you shoot the threat, and the male, the husband is the threat, not the pregnant.
Yeah.
And she said, within the first hour, we were watching it on the news down in Philly, and she said the husband did it because they wouldn't have shot the wife. She was no threat. And, of course, that's a Philadelphia view, but they were dead. She was dead on, so.
Yeah.
I think she's still a police officer. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, you can't know that.
No, it turns out that there is sometimes something to be said for expertise. Yeah. I'm not an expert on street crime or how this kind of stuff works or whatever.
And Philly's tough. So this was South Philly. So.
Right. That's true. I mean, racist Beantown, we'd never throw batteries at Santa Claus. So, I mean, you know, this is Philadelphia. I apologize to any of our listeners who may be in Philadelphia. I'm very sorry. Please don't come for me. Anyway.
She was a white Irish cop in a very black part of the city.
So, yeah.
Which is where they put all the women first class by themselves on foot patrol. Not many lasted.
There's a whole lot to unpack there, I think.
Sorry,
might say.
You know me, I go feminist just like that.
No. There is absolutely a feminist dimension to that, but it's just like, woof, that is a whole story. I'd be interested to hear her talk about her life and career, but since she's not here, I don't think we can do that.
No, and I can't represent. I remember her saying
no, but
that
I the whole like
Well, that was Mayor Rizzo time, so
yeah. Well, yeah. That was shortly after, I think, the MOVE bombing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So yep,
that had happened beforehand.
So
I had to call my friends in Philly and go, what are you guys doing down there dropping bombs on?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of memorable things. So are we better off now than we were 30 years ago?
In some ways, yes. I mean, obviously there's different, you know, what's your metric? You know, in terms of the disruption of the global climate system, we're much worse off.
The fact that people have cameras and now we can see how the evil deeds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's actually the beginning of some accountability and.
But the ostracism side of that.
Well, so one of the things actually that I have been thinking about a lot, and I might as well pontificate, we got a few minutes left here, and it's sort of in keeping with what we've talked about earlier. So, okay, buckle up. That's good.
I'm giving him a skeptical look. Are we going back to talking about movie stars?
No.
Oh, good.
No. I'd be happy to wax on about Tim Curry, but it is actually irrelevant while we're on.
We already gave him his 10 minutes.
We did. Probably too much. I apologize. Anyway, but thinking about Mr. Trump being on trial and whatever, and the earlier civil trial and whatever, both, whether it's civil or criminal, they are both part of the justice system, you know, like the idea of like, you know, the how our society sort of resolves conflicts and whatever. And it just strikes me that, like, you know, like the whole, like, well, what you want isn't justice, it's vengeance. You know, like that is a super cliched line that I've been hearing since I was a little boy watching TV. And it's just in general, the whole idea of like, you know, what is the point and what is justice and whatever. And I'm like, I've really come to the conclusion that, however else, whatever other qualities you want to look for and outcomes you want to look for, I think the root of it is the public, is a public accountability and a public determination of truth. And while there certainly are plenty of problems with our justice system, especially when the police get involved, because, you know, it is a sad truth that there does seem to be a faction within various police forces around the country that make a habit of lying.
I think they're groomed into that.
Of them may be. I don't know.
I think it's sometimes the circumstances.
But I mean, you know, that was like, there was that scandal in Philadelphia when it came out, like, you know, the previous district attorney had a whole list of like, never put these cops on the stand because they will lie. And it's like, that is significant information, you know? Sorry, Jomer, go ahead.
Yeah, I read more about what happened.
Oh, please.
It had nothing to do with the Trump trial.
Okay.
Oh, so they're getting more details here.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Flashing news. This is great.
It's like, it's a good, there's cameras here paying attention, but that doesn't have to be, you know, anything about it.
Yeah. I had to go through a few different sites and Reddit.
Reddit, the last vestige of useful social media.
Kind of. I guess, yeah.
Anyway, so tell us more about Mr. Azzarello.
So one of the pamphlets that he threw around was the true history of the world, Haunted Carnival Edition. And this has been floating around for a while, actually. Like, I found posts on Reddit about this. Like, it's called r/stupid poll, basically. Stupid politics, basically. He is an anti-establishment. He was a Bernie supporter. He apparently, like his friends said, that he was devolving like more and more and getting more into like conspiracy theories about billion, like ether rich, billion, anti-billionaires kind of thing. So like you said, and this is very interesting that you said this before, every side has propaganda. No matter what your political side or beliefs, if you go far enough, there is going to be propaganda about it. Like this, he's been making posts on his Facebook about like Bill Clinton being on George W. Bush's side and like lots of stuff. He had a Substack apparently. So it's this screed about stuff. I can post that.
Maybe that's why they couldn't characterize it, because
it's kind of a lefty version of, you know, the Jews and the reptile people are going to destroy our drinking water and take over, crush the right weight race or crap
and
like that.
An Occupy Returns booklet, our only goal, abolish our criminal government and replace it with one that serves all. That in
anti-establishment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very classic.
Yeah, that
anti-establishment.
This is the really interesting thing about propaganda and conspiracy theories in general. A lot of people get into them because they're looking for answers about things. A lot of people get into them because they're like, this doesn't make sense. But then conspiracy theories turns from a search for the truth into trying to explain what you think is going on. Like, basically it goes backwards. You have an idea or an answer and you're trying to find evidence for that instead of having a question and trying to find evidence to answer that question. That's the difference between research and conspiracy theories. I was actually in a back and forth about this online actually like a few days ago.
Interesting. So man's search for meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a real fundamental pressure on people.
Yeah.
To make sense of the world around them.
Well, and there are a lot of things where, like, you can start with, God, how is it that, like, you know, those planes crashed into the two towers in New York and what happened and why did that bring it down? And, like, those are totally sensible questions, but then you sort of wind up with the people who are like, you know, but jet fuel can't melt steel beams, so then we've got to invent, like, some other crazy thing. And it's like, or it could just be those big planes crashed into the steel beams and the whole building was damaged and weakened and eventually fell down, like we saw.
Or it burned hotter.
Like this isn't actually that mysterious.
Yeah. There is a really good video by Folding Ideas, a YouTube channel that he does like documentaries and stuff. There's a really good video on flat earthers and what happened to them, because there was a huge community of flat earthers and a lot of them stopped making videos and stuff like. And it's really fascinating. I will post a link to it. It is like 2 hours long, but I've watched it a couple times. Really interesting stuff. Sue, you were going to say something?
So I was going to say a more sophisticated version of that is when the fellow that wrote the book, The Clash of Civilizations, about our modernists versus, you know, people that live in the Stone Age. And, you know, it's really pejorative, but it's – or the I think it was New York Times. Somebody had a title on one of the articles, Why Do They Hate Us? You know, and when you start to attribute motive to other people, that is sort of when you get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't take just the facts in front of you and you start to say, you know, they're really evil, they're out to get us, there's this whole cabal, blah, blah, blah. You know, you go down that path. So it's interesting, but there is a natural tendency to do it.
Well, and I understand, like, a distrust of the extremely wealthy and the influence they can have on our society. But like,
do you think we have you here?
Right. I know.
So we can grill you.
Mole.
So
you know where to find me. But I mean, for example, Bill Gates, like a guy who, I think he's done some stuff that's good. I think he's done a lot of stuff that's bad, but I mean, in the end, he seems like there's a through line and like, hey, if I, sort of find this part of, you know, computing infrastructure and sort of slap a this is mine label on it, you know, I can make a lot of money. And the same logic applies later. It's like, oh, no, we should protect the patents of COVID vaccines. You know, we should make it so that people just can't be making COVID vaccines cheaply and easily because we could lose a lot of money. And that, you know, we lose a lot of control over things if we let people just, and it's like, it's the same logic. But and it's not that I think that Bill Gates is like, I must kill people or, you know, like I serve the great dark lord. It's just like, this is a guy who just, he's about money and control for himself. And it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that.
I think it's very American. I think it's one of the reasons we do big things is because we have, usually it's men, but we have people that really believe they're almost superhuman and they do things that are really sort of fantastical in putting them together. And it is kind of a belief system. It's like the president believing that they're, you know, this is fate kind of. We like that individual, you know, take on the world. We value that. We actually reward it. Our systems reward it for sure.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we only have like
2 minutes, but yeah, that's true, and that's an issue, that's a problem. Also, a lot of big things that America has done, that this country has done, and people in this country have done, is with a lot of federal funding, and like, sure, you know, like
government
agencies.
Yeah. Remember Ross Perot back in '92 talking about how, like, you know,
how he made his money on Medicare and EDS.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? Like how Al Gore invented the internet. That wasn't him, like, you know, in a garage. That was him. Well, it might have been him in a garage. Who knows?
No, he was changing the regs so that they'd be allowed to do it without Fettering. Yeah. So Fetterman.
Yeah, but he programmed the entire internet with that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The entire internet. Even now, he's just.
He actually built it out of matchsticks. Not a lot of people know that. The original architecture.
You know, our environmental situation would have been a lot better if we'd listened to him a little bit more.
We'd have been a lot better if the election had been stolen from him. So here's a
now. Don't be saying that.
Here's a fun. Well, here's a fun note to end on.
The court decided it wasn't stolen. So.
That was the steal.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. People got their payoff. It was all fine, right? But here's the thing. This was a chart I saw. I forget the source of it right now. But it was actually like a credible source. And it basically is just like, hey, so if you're about my age, half of all the carbon emissions that have contributed to global warming since the Industrial Revolution have happened in my lifetime, in the past 50 years.
Guilty.
Yeah. And if you're 20, like a quarter of them have happened. And if you're President Biden's age, 75% of those have happened in his lifetime.
Almost matches his age.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, okay. If we'd been following the Kyoto Accords and whatnot, as I think President Gore would have done, we'd be in much better shape right now. Because, like, a huge chunk of the emissions have happened in this century. It's gotten worse, so. Anyway, I'm getting thwacked on the side of the head, so, anyway, gotta wrap it up tonight. So, thank you for listening to, sorry.
Civil Politics. Thank you for listening to Civil Politics.
Here on Valley Free Radio.
We've got a great lineup coming tonight.
Yeah. Starting with Kicking It Worldwide in just a couple of minutes, followed by Subculture at 8, Table of Contents at 10, OK Asia at midnight, and then more good stuff to take you through past dawn tomorrow. Absolutely worth your time. You should listen to it all. Our website, civilpoliticsradio.com. You can find previous episodes of the show here, or you can check out our podcast version on all the various services, or listen to us all over again Monday afternoon at 4, in which case, coming up next is Democracy Now! Right, but that'll do it for now. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Civil Politics is a member of the Planetside Podcast Network. To learn more, go to planetsidepodcasts.com.